Let's grab our Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. This morning we were talking about our union, the fact that we are one with the Father, one with Christ. We found out that that was Jesus' primary mission in life, was to unite man and God together once again. Some good stuff there. So we'll go through some things that may seem like it's repetitive, and it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. We're just going to kind of get into more detail. And I tell you, we're just going to see an explosion of miracles tonight. Hallelujah. I've kind of found it's like this. It's like popcorn. Anybody pop popcorn in a microwave? You sit there and wait a little bit, but once you get that first kernel to pop, then all of a sudden, pop. We saw that this morning. We're going to see it again tonight. So who's going to be the first kernel? Who's going to be the first popper? And I'm telling you right now, it'll happen right there in your chair. You don't have to get up here, because remember, who's on the inside of you? I mean, and I don't know about you, but I kept hearing the same thing this morning. People came up and said, oh my gosh, that was so good. It's so simple. Yeah, that's why we've missed it so many times. It's so simple. It's just getting back to the basics. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Right? I'm the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, God on the inside of me. If he moved on the inside of me, then everything that he is got on the inside of me. Well, it starts right here in Genesis chapter 1. All you Bible scholars, what's happening in Genesis chapter 1? God's creating, right? And in verse 26, it said, God said, let's make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over all the cattle and this and that, over all the earth. Now think about this. God said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. In our image. So in other words, let's put them in a position where they can represent us. You know, we saw that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This wasn't the idea of Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or whoever your favorite preacher. This is God that said that, right? He said, let's make man. This was his decision. Let's make man in our image and our likeness to be like us. So we see right here God making man, putting him in a position to represent him. And then he said, let's give them dominion. Let's give them dominion here. And so now you're seeing a man not only being able to represent the Father because of likeness and image, but also now in a place to demonstrate like the Father. Let's make man in our likeness and image to represent. But not just represent in word only, but now let's give them the authority and dominion so they can demonstrate. Right? We saw that with Jesus. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the works that I'm doing, because the works that I'm doing prove that I'm one with him and he's one with me. Guys, I'm telling you, this subject of union, it is so, so important, and it's all throughout the scripture. It's all throughout. So God said this, let's make man our image and likeness, give them dominion. So get down to verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord God, he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So we see this body's been formed, and then God, he reaches down and he puts his life inside of this body. And notice that all of a sudden the body begins to respond. The body begins to be animated. The body had no movement, no life until God's life got into that body. Now, I kind of liken this to Frosty the Snowman. Anybody ever watch Frosty the Snowman? Anybody? All right, so Frosty the Snowman, you got the snowman, he's just a regular old snowman, no life, no animation, no nothing, until they put the magic hat, right? And the magic hat gets on top of Frosty, and all of a sudden, happy birthday! Something super got on the natural, right? Well, when God... And to Adam, happy birthday. And the body began to respond. And so what we see here is a wonderful, wonderful reality is that your body was made to respond to the contents of your spirit. And the reason that's so, so important is because you don't ever need to look at this to tell you what you have. And that's where we get into trouble with the area of healing. We're looking in the wrong warehouse to tell us what we really have on the retail floor. I have a story. I'll hold it. It'll make some of you laugh. So, okay. So we see this right here. God put this life into them, right? Actually, let me tell you this story. This will be good. So this thing about the warehouse, okay? This is so important because so many times we're looking here, all right? But your body was to respond to what's on the inside. And many times when it comes to the area of healing, again, we're looking here to see what we have. But this is not me. I'm a spirit being. All right, so how many of you ever worked retail before? All right, so when I was in college, I was 20 years old, and I got a job working for Victoria's Secret. I mean, a 20-year-old's dream job, boy. Me and my best friend, Corey Hines, we went to high school together, and we played basketball a little bit in college together, and his brother was dating the manager at Victoria's Secret in Beaumont, Texas. And so she happened to tell him, I need two stock boys. And so me and my friend Corey said, we will volunteer. And so we got this job working for Victoria's Secret. And so we'd go back there and we were doing all the warehousing stuff and stock stuff. And I ain't gonna lie, it took us about 2 weeks to convince all the women in there we were not gay. They're like, why are these dudes working in here with lingerie? we had our work cut out. We had to convince them. But the moral of the story is this, is that we would be out there, because we're doing inventory and we know what's in the warehouse, we would be out there, we'd get out on the floor as fast as we could. We'd get all our work done, get out there on the floor, because that's where all the ladies were coming in. But we would be out there, and there was many times that somebody was looking for something, and one of the saleswomen would say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we're out of that, maybe we can order for you. And we would overhear that, so no, we do have that, it's in the warehouse. And so we would run to the warehouse and go get it. Well, the thing was this, they were looking in the wrong place. Like, they didn't know that it was actually there, so they assumed we don't have it anymore. And we said, no, we were actually aware of what we actually had. You may not have seen it here, but we know that we've got it. Let me go get it for you and bring it out. And so many times we're looking in the warehouse of our flesh to tell us what's really in the warehouse of our spirit, but we need to turn it around because healing is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so that's where we get it jacked up. We're looking at this physical body to tell me if I've got healing or not. Healing's a spiritual thing. And Satan has no problem with you looking in the wrong warehouse to try to figure out what it is that you got from God. You need to look in the right warehouse. You need to look in the right warehouse. And we see this right here in the very, very beginning, that it was the spirit, the contents of the spirit, that caused the body to begin to move and have life. Well, most of us know the rest of the story, that Adam and Eve, they were there. The serpent came, deceived Eve, said, if you'll do this, then you'll be like God. And it was the greatest deception because Eve was already like God. She just didn't know who she was. And it says that when her eyes were opened, she saw that the fruit was good, right? And it would make her like she wanted to be, and yet she already was. And see, that's where a lot of Christians are today, doing this and doing that, trying to get something that God already made them to be and put on the inside of them, and Satan's just sitting over there and laughing his butt off. Right? So they take of that, they sin, and they die spiritually. When they died spiritually, they lost out of what God put on the inside of them. Now, we see that Adam didn't die physically for a long time, but that he was so full of this life. I mean, it took his body a while to learn how to die. But what you see is from that time on, lifespan began to go down, 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 right? So this was God's original plan for man, that be full of this life on the inside of him. And then throughout the Old Covenant, you see God speaking through his prophets this very same thing. There's a new covenant coming. And in this new covenant, I'm going to do a new thing. In this new covenant, I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. I'm going to put my life on the inside of you. I'm going to be your God. And you will be my people. I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I'll be their God. And they'll be my people. This was God's heart cry all throughout the Old Covenant. And then the plan to fix this whole thing was Jesus. So turn to John chapter 1 and verse 4. We mentioned it this morning, but we're going to look at it. So we made this statement that everything God wanted in us, he put into Christ, right? Because when we became one with Christ, everything that was in him, it would be in us. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this, in him was life, and that life was the what? Light. Now hold on to that piece, because we're going to talk about this light thing too. And I tell you what, man, if you ain't running and hanging from the rafters, something's wrong with you. So in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So what we see here with God is that what he started with Adam, the first Adam messed it up. But Jesus, as the last Adam, came to restore and fix some things. So God, what he originally put in the first Adam, he puts in the last Adam. He puts this life into Jesus. This word life, it's the Greek word Zoe, Z-O-E. And I'm sure many of you have heard that word, that Greek word, Zoe, which is the life of God, the life that God is and he has. And he put this into Jesus, right? He puts this into Jesus. Now, if you flip over to John chapter 5, John chapter 5 and verse 21. John 5 verse 21. Jesus makes this statement here. And he said, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Now remember, we pointed this out this morning. Jesus is doing life as a man anointed by God. He's doing life and ministry as a man filled and united with God. He's the prototype. And he's showing us what's available for a man or woman that's filled and united with God. And Jesus makes this statement. He said, for as the Father has what? For as the Father raises dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Now we saw in John 1:4 that God put this life into Christ. Now we see right here in John chapter 5, Jesus not only knows he has this life, but he also knows he can give it away as a man. It's so, so important to get that piece as a man, as a woman, to give this away. And then in verse 26, he goes on a little bit further here. John chapter 5 and verse 26, he says this. He said, for as the Father has life where? In himself. So he's granted the Son to have life where? In himself. So, I mean, this is just common sense. What you are a possessor of, you can also do what? You can give it away. This is why right here you never see Jesus ask God's permission. Anytime Jesus went to minister to someone, you didn't see him ask permission. He didn't ask, is God, is this your will? No, Jesus said what the Father has in him, the Father put in me. And because it's in me and I'm a possessor of this Zoe, this life, I can give it away to whomever I want, whenever I want. Why? It's mine. I can give it away. I'm a possessor so that I can be a releaser of this life. So this is what I call the road of life. How many of you knew the Roman road? You know the Roman road? So I went to Baptist youth group when I was a teenager. I went to First Baptist Church in Beaumont to go to their youth group a bunch. And it was there I learned the Roman road. You know, that path leading down to the book of Romans into salvation. Well, this is what I call the road of life. To lead you down this path of what God's put on the inside of you, not only for you, but also your world. So we see in John chapter 1, verse 4, God put this life into Jesus. And then John chapter 5, Jesus knows he has this life and he knows he can give it away. And then look at John chapter 10, verse 10. You all know this. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking here and he says, the thief has come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But I have, noticed this, underline it, highlight it. I have come so you could go to heaven. Remember, yes, there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. But Jesus didn't say, I came to change your destination. He said, I came to give you something. He said, I came to give you what? Life. I came to give you Zoe. I came to give you the very same life that God is and has. That's on the inside of me. He said, I came to this planet to give it to you. Why? Because that was God's original plan in the garden. He put it into the first Adam. First Adam jacked it up and lost it. But the last Adam came to get it back into you. This life, life, life more abundantly. We call it eternal life, abundant life. It's still the very same word, Zoe, life of God. This life inside of you. Jesus said, I came so you could have something. He didn't come to necessarily take you somewhere. He came to put something on the inside of you. And yet a wonderful byproduct of what's on the inside of you is you get to go somewhere. So we see that in John chapter 10, verse 10. And then John chapter 17 that we read this morning. John 17 and verse 20. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he was praying for each and every single one of us, right? And then he said, I pray, this is this prayer, that they would all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they would be one in us, that the world would believe that you sent me. And the glory that you gave me, I have given it to them so that they would be one as we are one, right? So you can't be one with someone, you can't be one with God without having the same stuff, right? And let's just take it a step further. You should never think of yourself ever as unholy, unrighteous, not good enough, not this, not that. Why? God cannot unite himself with junk. God cannot unite himself with self. He cannot unite himself with something that's incomplete. Now, there's a difference between completion and maturity. We're all growing and maturing. And I'm maturing in what I am and what I have. You can say it like this, I'm maturing in my completion. My maturity doesn't change who I am and what I have. My maturity is a growth in understanding who I am and what I have so I can manifest it. God can't unite himself with something that's unrighteous. Let's go even further. He cannot unite himself with something that's not like him. We have put ourselves down too much. Amen. There's no reason a Christian should have a low self-esteem issue. It should be the reverse. We're struggling with pride. Because we just walk around looking at how great I am in God. That we've got to work on our heads fitting through the door because of how great this God is on the inside of us. Friends, we are not some lonely little worm under a bucket of scum. Just some sinner saved by grace, trying to make it through the pearly gates and slide on in and high-five Peter and say, "Woo, I made it." That is not the way we are. No. When we make it, man, we ought to get in there with a strut. Come on. You're not going to walk up to the throne of God saying, I'm unworthy. No, that's your Father. Your seat is at the right hand of God. Come on. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say, come groveling. But that's the way we view ourselves. But we need to begin to view ourselves as a carrier of who God is and all that he is. Friends, I'm telling you, this just keeps coming up on the inside of me. This is what this last great move of God's going to be all about. This awakening that's beginning to take place in the body of Christ right now. Understanding who we are and getting so bold about it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Christ. What's flowing out of me is what's flowing out of him. If I lay my hands on you, it is the exact same thing as Jesus putting his hands on you. We've got to see ourselves that way. Now, you don't have to go around telling the world that way. They're going to think you're nuts. But you need to know that here. We've got to see ourselves as him. I'm not saying that I'm Jesus, and I'm not saying that you're Jesus, but you've got to understand, in any situation of life in which you are Christ in that situation. These are the hands and these are the feet. We are the body of Christ. It's high time we start representing him, not just with words, but in demonstration. Why? We're made in his image and in his likeness to not only represent him, we were also given this dominion, this power, this authority, this life, so we could demonstrate him. We've gotten really good at representing in name. But you know what? Jesus wasn't okay in just representing in name, because Jesus even put where the rubber had to hit the road. If you don't believe what I say, believe the miracles that I do. Let me put it to you like this. When's the last time you were in a service? When's the last time you were around, you know, a Christian or a minister or something like that, and they said, hey, if you don't believe the message, believe the miracles? It's getting harder and harder to find those type of churches and find those type of ministers. Why? To actually back up what you preach? But the gospel was made to be demonstrated, not just preached. signs, wonders, and miracles for what? To authenticate the message. That's what it's all about. So where are we at? John 17. So Jesus said, the glory, verse 22, that you gave me, I gave them, so they would be one just as we are one. Verse 23, I and them and you and me, that they would be made what? Perfect. That means you're not missing anything. Perfect in one. That the world, here it is again, that the world would know that you have sent me. And we brought it out this morning. How is the world going to know that God sent Jesus? By looking at us. Because this union with the Father and with Christ was so absolutely perfect. So absolutely perfect that when the world encounters us, experiences us, they should encounter Him. They should experience Him. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're getting there. So we see this, that God put this into Jesus, right? John chapter 1, verse 4. We see in John chapter 5 that Jesus is aware that He has it and He can give it away. John chapter 10, Jesus reveals His purpose, that He came to put it on the inside of you, right? John 17, we see this prayer that, Father, they would be one. And the result of that union was so that what Jesus was praying for and came to give us, we could actually get, right? So now let's look over at Ephesians chapter 1. We mentioned this morning, but I want you to see it. This is what we call one of the Pauline prayers, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 21. And this was Paul's prayer. He said, Father, I pray that their eyes would be open, that they would understand these three things, that they would understand the hope of their calling. In other words, the plan that God has for your life, that they would understand that. Number two, he said, I pray that they would understand the inheritance you have in the saints. And number three, Paul says this, I pray that they would understand the exceeding greatness of your power that raised up Jesus from the dead, that it's on the inside of them, that it's for them, and that it's in them. And then you can see kind of a parallel to this in Romans chapter 8. Y'all probably know this one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. He said, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your what body? Not your heavenly body, your mortal body. So we see right here that the life of God, this life of God that's on the inside of you, it was made to affect your mortal body. We saw this in Genesis chapter 1. So now what's on the inside of you, it was made to affect this. It wasn't just to get you to heaven. It was to allow you to experience some heaven while you're on the earth. And I like to use my imagination sometimes. So, you know, if any of you have ever been in the hospital, you know, what's one of the first things you do if you check in the hospital, they put you in the bed, they hook you up to an IV. And they got this tube hooked up to the bag, and it's this constant just drip, 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 drip. And I like to look at this verse like this, that I'm hooked up to the IV of heaven. And it's just this continual drip, 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 drip of the life of God flow. Because if you read this in the Greek, this isn't a one-time flow. This is a continual flow of the life of God for your mortal body. It's a continual flow. And if you tag this into what Jesus said, He said, on the inside of you, talking about salvation, there's going to be a well of what? Living water. This well. And then He goes on talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and talks about these rivers of living water. This well that you can dip on into and take of and partake of that's on the inside of you. So we see this here in Romans. Now, look, this is where it gets real exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Somebody's ankle's getting healed right now. Somebody came in on a limp. You're about to get your pimp walk. Who is that? What's going on? Well, let's see what happened right now. I don't care about the past. I care about right now. You can do whatever you want. This might be the first kernel. Who is it? Go ahead. You can do whatever you want.
What?
Yeah, well, you got it. You better hurry up. I mean, you said you couldn't go up, you went up, so I mean,
you can do it.
We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's in him that we live, it's in him that we move, it's in him that we have our being. Hallelujah. Here, hold my hand. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're possessors of this life. We're possessors of this life. We're possessors of this life. This isn't about you trying to make anything happen or do anything like that. You need to stop working, stop whatever's going on the inside. Stop it. You ever seen that Newhart video? Bob Newhart? You ever seen it? You need to watch it. Man, it's a counseling thing. This lady comes in, has problems. She paid $5 to Bob Newhart. He said, I've got advice for you. She said, what is it? Stop it. It's one of the best videos. I don't like that. Well, what else do I need to do? Stop it. Stop trying to make it happen. You're not the healer.
Okay, so,
you, if you could have done it, you would have already done it.
Okay.
Right? Here. You want to sit down and stand back up? What do you do? You want to walk with me?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get back to my message.
No, the walking's okay. It's the up, the step down the stairs.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
I think I'm going to walk around.
Walk around. If you want to walk up here, do whatever you want. Hallelujah. Hey, now look, I said somebody's ankle is getting healed. I didn't say you needed to make it happen. That's Jesus' job. So you just walk and relax and enjoy yourself, and you let him work on your ankle right now. It's his job. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So look at this. This is awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Man, this is so exciting. Verse 6, it says, it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. We're going to come back to this. Verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What vessels? Earthen vessels. That means this body you've got right now. In other words, he's saying right here where you're sitting right now, there's a treasure on the inside of you. He said, there's a treasure on the inside of you right now. Come on, the treasure doesn't have to be here. The treasure's right there in your chair. He said, there's this treasure on the inside of you. He said that the excellence would be of what? Of the power would be of God and not of us. Hey, ma'am, that's for you right there. A treasure on the inside of you. It's not about you. It's about God. So that we couldn't get the glory, he can get the glory. This treasure on the inside of you. And then he says here in verse 8, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Why? You can't crush the life of God on the inside of you. He said, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Notice verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Underline this phrase, that the life of what? Jesus would be made manifest in our body. The Zoe of God, the life of God that was in Christ and now in you, this life was made to affect your body. It was made to affect your mortal body. And it's the same life that was exerted when Jesus was raised from the dead. It's literally on the inside of you right now. And the purpose of it right here, right now, for this time, is to make manifest in your body. It's to do something to your body. It's to do something to your body. And then if you don't get it the first time, this is for the knuckleheads, the second time, he goes on to verse 11. For the people who didn't pass first grade the first time, he said, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus would be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So for all the people who would look at verse 10 and say, well, he's talking about our spiritual body. Paul goes, let me break it down for you, dumb. I'm talking about your mortal flesh. He said it was made manifest in your mortal flesh. Mortal flesh. Now, notice that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God put this life in Adam, we did not see Adam's body struggle. Adam's body was not laying there going, I believe I receive it, I believe I receive it, I believe I receive it, I believe I receive it. No, why? Because God made the human body to be a receiver of this life. There was no struggle. There was no work. There was no formula trying to get it into the body. Because God created the human body. I don't know how, and I really don't care. But God created the human body to be able to absorb that life. And Paul is telling you right here, Father, open their eyes, help them understand what's on the inside of them. And then he's telling you right here in 2 Corinthians, what's on the inside of you, what it will do for you. It's to affect your mortal body. It's to affect your flesh. It's to affect your organs. It's to affect your lungs. It's to affect your fingers, your eyes, your ears. It's to affect your mortal body. It's to affect your mortal body. It's supposed to do something to your body. It's supposed to do something to your body. Supposed to do something to your body. It might be doing something to your body right now. I'm waiting for another kernel. It's been a while. Sometimes all you got to do is just take a step and respond to what's on the inside of you. So let's go back up to verse 6 here. Now I want to help you understand this. So look, it says, it's God who commanded this light to shine out of darkness. Now, we mentioned it this morning, but I want to go into it in a little bit of detail now. This light to shine out of darkness. When did God command light to shine out of darkness? Genesis chapter 1, right? Very beginning. God said, light be, and light was. And this was not when he created the sun. God released himself into the universe. Right? He released himself into the universe. And so we brought out that, you know, the universe has been continually expanding since the very beginning. And you look how, you walk outside at night and look up at the stars in the sky. You look how expansive the universe is. And yet scientists tell us that the universe is expanding at the speed of light. It is the light that's just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. It's the life of God that's pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And as great and expansive as the universe is, it cannot contain the life and the light of God. It cannot contain it. Cannot contain it. And yet Paul's telling us right here that that same life that was released into the universe is literally released on the inside of your spirit. So it shows us what we are made to be. We're made in his image and in his likeness to contain him. The universe cannot contain the creator of the universe, but your spirit being can because you were made to be just like him. I mean, literally, the life that's creating everything that you can see up in the sky and the stars and that's pushing the universe, it's literally on the inside of you right now. This great, precious treasure on the inside of your spirit. And Paul, through the Holy Ghost, is telling you it was not made just to sit there and be like some trophy on a shelf. It was made to flow out of your spirit and into your body. Now, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is where it gets really interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see right here the Holy Ghost is bringing about what was going on under the old covenant and talking about Moses. And when Moses went up on the mountain, remember for those 40 days? He was up there on that mountain, and he was there in the presence of God. And when he came down off of that mountain, and remember, Moses was a sinner. He was not righteous. He was not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He was not filled with the Holy Ghost. He was not a Bible-thumping, tongue-talking, faith-preaching preacher. He was a former murderer, right? And yet he's up there in the presence of God. And he comes down, and the Bible says that his face was shining with light. So much so he had to cover it up with a cloth. Now think about this. Where was the life coming from? It was coming from the outside in. So this shows us that your body was made to receive of this life. It can come from the outside in. We saw that with God and Adam. And we know this to be true when we lay hands on the sick. that something is to go where? Into them. And we've been okay with that. But where we need to take the next step is this, because Paul's telling us that right there, it was cool, it was great, it was glorious, but there was something coming, and it's here now, that would be much more glorious. And the reason it would be much more glorious, because we see it with Jesus himself. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see something happen with Jesus, and that same light, that same life, began to shine in his body. So much so that everything was shining, his clothes were shining. They were like bleached white. But the vast difference between Jesus and Moses is that life with Moses was coming from the outside in. And with Jesus, that life was coming from the inside out. It's coming from the inside out. It was coming from the inside out. That means your body was made not only to receive of the life of God, it was also to be a releaser of the life of God. That there would be no struggle in getting it in, and there would be no struggle in getting it out. Somehow, some way, God fashioned this human body, this wonderful creation here, to be a container of this life, to receive of this life, to release of this life, so it would affect every single piece of your body. And this is where you can begin to understand Acts chapter 19 and the Apostle Paul and the cloths that were taken from his body. Because that life was flowing out of the body and it was getting into the clothes and getting into the cloth. And somehow, some way, God made it that the cloth could carry what was on the inside of the body. And so you see people just trying to touch Jesus' clothes because what was in his spirit was getting into his body, and there was so much of a flow because he was so aware of it. It was getting into his clothes, and people could just touch his clothes and receive of what was in his spirit. And Paul, the same thing. What was in his spirit was getting into his body, getting into the cloths, getting into the handkerchiefs, and they were taking that, and it says that they would put it on sick people and people that were demon-possessed, and they would get healed, and they would get delivered, and they would get set free. What was it? It was the life of God. This was God's plan from the very beginning. And guys, this is why when you begin to look at this, you're like, oh my God, we have overcomplicated this thing. We've made something that was so simple, and it's right there in Genesis and throughout the Old Testament and all through Jesus' ministry. And Paul keeps talking about it. And like, how have we missed this? We've made it so hard. And yet what we've been searching for and what we've been working for and the buttons we've been trying to push and the knobs we've been trying to turn and the levers we've been trying to find the right thing and the right formula, and the whole time it's on the inside of us. You know, I told you the story last week about the woman... the stewardess, we've got this great testimony from her, and there was a line that she said in the testimony. I absolutely loved it because, man, it'll preach. And we didn't lay hands on this woman, but her knees had been locked up for 6 or 7 years. She could not bend. She could not stoop. She could not squat. We did not lay hands. I didn't even know this happened in the service until she told me afterwards. And she said, I was sitting there in the service, and she said, just while you were teaching, a heat came over my knees. And she said, this heat came over my knees. And she said, I knew I was healed. And she said, so I got up and started walking around and kind of bending and stuff. And when service was over, she said, I walked up there and I started squatting and doing these things I could not do for over 6 years. And she said, I'm so excited that I'm healed. But she said, I'm so mad because I'm just now finding out I could have had this 6 years ago. She said, I'm so upset because I didn't know it was on the inside of me the entire time. So all the searching that we've been doing, you know where you need to look? You've been looking in all the wrong places. It'd be a good country song. You need to look to the right warehouse. You've been looking to the wrong warehouse. You need to look to the right warehouse. You need to understand what you have. And the more that we begin to know, the more it will begin to flow. The more we become aware of what we have, the more we will begin to walk in it. This is why Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will produce much fruit. If fruit isn't being produced, I'm sorry, but the answer is you're not abiding in him. You can do all the Christian things that you know to do and work all the principles and work all the steps, but if you're not living this life from a union with him, you're not going to get the results that you want. Right. If you're frustrated, if you're stressed, if you're tired, and you're working all these things, I'm sorry, friends, you can call it faith. It's not. It's works. It's through this union, this position, that's where faith flows, that's where fruit flows, that's where healing flows, that's where miracles begin to happen, That's where miracles are happening right now, right now. I'm not saying that just to say that, to hype you up. I'm telling you some things are happening right now. And I'm telling you, if you'll just pop the kernel. Some of you that came in wanting a miracle, you'll realize the miracle already happened if you'll just respond right now to what's on the inside of you. You might just want to get up. Do some push-ups. Some of you that had some shoulder problems. Those of you that had some ankle problems, you might want to stomp on it. Some of you that had some ear problems, you might want to check it out. Some of you that had a growth, is that lady that had that growth? Here, we'll get our second kernel. Is that lady that had that growth from this morning, you here tonight? Man, I told her I wanted to prove something tonight. She didn't show up. Oh. You might want to go to the bathroom and check that out. Okay, I'm being serious. You might want to go check that out. If y'all ain't going to help me, I'm going to help myself. Hallelujah. Who's had some hip issues? Oh, yeah, we got you this morning. Three fourths. Might want to go do something. When I dip, you dip. You might want to do something with those hip. Like. Hallelujah. Come on, friends, y'all are making this hard. Who came in with some issues? Who came in with some issues? All right, check yourself right now. Do something you couldn't do. This isn't about you trying to make something. I'm telling you, these are things that are happening right now. Simply because we're talking about what's on the inside of us, we're becoming aware of what's on the inside of us. This life of God, this life of God, this life of God, this life that went into Moses, this life that was shining out of Jesus. And because you're one with him and he's one with you, it's literally on the inside of you right now. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branch, right? What's, you go down and you cut a branch of any tree and you'll find that what's flowing through that branch, the juices and the minerals flowing through there, is exactly what's flowing through the trunk. And yet it's not the branch's job to get the nutrients. It's the trunk's job. The only job that the branch has is to stay connected. This is about connection. This is about awareness. This is not about your works. This is about awareness of who you are and what's on the inside of you. What's on the inside of you? Man, what's going on in the pink back there? You look like you're grooving back there. What's? Your foot? Yeah. Yeah. Well, how you doing right now? Here, come here. Come here. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. How is it right now?
It's okay now.
It's okay. Well, it's okay now.
Okay.
All right. So you're gonna grab a hold of me. Hallelujah. So what's on the inside of me is going to flow into you, and what's in your spirit is going to flow into you. Hallelujah. Somebody get some oxygen. Need some oxygen up here. Come on, let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. What's going on? Huh? Grab my hand. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for life flowing into this body right now, removing that in Jesus' name. Go check it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, pop, 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 pop. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Who has some more shoulder injuries? There were some people that had shoulders, I know. Well, I see somebody pointing, but who's the actual person that has a shoulder? Yeah? What's going on, Dad? Is this you or daughter wanting it? What's wrong with your shoulder? Yeah? Try it right now. That's kind of funny looking at the camera. I'm like, rotator cuff.
Yeah. On the, you know,
yeah.
I can't do this or this.
You can't. You can't do.
Apparently, I can.
I can't do this.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh. Oh, that was funny. Oh, we have any more people who had some lung issues going on? Man, we were seeing lots of lungs getting healed this morning. Yeah, what's going on back there in the back? Asthma. Take a deep breath. Who is the other hand? How you doing, ma'am? What are you raising your hand about? Come here and tell me. Might get ready to run and shout, people. Come here. We're going to find out if y'all are Pentecostal church or not. I couldn't do this. Woo! Jesus! Woo! Jesus! Jesus! Hallelujah. All right, tell us what's going on.
Okay. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and that's 15 years. And all of a sudden, a lump just appeared. And I said, okay, God, okay. Here I am. So I came today, this morning, to get my healing. I mean, that. So I know it's not cancerous. It's just, you know, just that bump, that lump that's there.
When I told you, I said, can you come back tonight? You said, yeah.
And I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened?
Told me to check twice. I checked twice.
You checked the first time. What happened the first time?
It was still there.
Okay, you came back.
I went back, and it's getting smaller. It's like it's deflating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. might want to go check one more time. Oh, man. See, this is where Christianity gets fun. Praise the Lord. Did we lay hands on her? No, we didn't lay hands on him either. I can't do this. Yeah, that so reminds me. It so reminds me. I was in Arkansas. I was doing this meeting. You got something else, sir? I was in Arkansas doing this meet. Yes! Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Wait, say it again.
I had to have spinal fusion the second time because the pain in my hip was so bad.
Huh?
Rod's going in for 30 years.
Wow.
And the pain's gone in my left hip.
Praise the Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so I was in the service in Arkansas, and we were having all kind of miracles just like this. Things were happening, and there was this older man. He was sitting in the back, and he said he had hearing aids in. Without the hearing aids, he couldn't hear anything. And so he's telling me, he said, yeah, I can't hear without them. I'm totally deaf. And so I said, well, go ahead. I'm standing like this. Right here by him. He said, without the hearing aids, I'm totally deaf. I said, well, go ahead and take them out. Let's kind of check it out. So he takes his hearing aids out. And so I start talking to him. And he starts talking back to me. And he's telling me about how bad his ears have been. And he hadn't been able to hear without the hearing aids and all this type of stuff. And so I saw what was going on. So I'm kind of walking like this and talking to him, you know, just real nonchalant, playing it cool. And I'm talking and he's talking. And I finally make it back. You know, he's in the back of the auditorium. I'll make it to the front. It was a smaller place, but, you know, I'm probably about maybe this far right here, a couple rows. And so we're talking. Everybody's seeing it now. Everybody's laughing. And he's still saying, I can't hear without my hearing aids. And I said, sir, you're a liar. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you told us in church you couldn't hear without your hearing aids, but you're talking to me right now. He goes, well, yeah, I am. I'm healed. Praise God. Oh, there's our miracle lady. What's going on there? It got smaller. Huh? Husband's a witness. Praise the Lord. Who knew going to the bathroom got rid of tumors? Well, that sounded kind of weird. Huh? Who knew taking a walk? See, what it is, it's not about going to the bathroom or going to this room. It's just about taking a step of faith and responding, a response of faith, an action of faith. That's all it really is about. It's not about you trying to work something or do something. It's just responding to who's on the inside of you and what's on the inside of you. Remember when God moved on the inside of you, he dumped the whole U-Haul. When you got saved, it was a beep, 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 beep. Back it up, back it up, back it up. Put it on the inside of you so that everywhere that you go, you're literally walking with everything that he is. Now look, let's get some people involved here. Who's some people still in here that you're still experiencing some issues in your body? Okay, we got quite a few hands here. All right, this is what I want to happen here. We spent two services now talking about what's on the inside of us. Right? This is about the believer. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, that's us. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter what kind of title you have in the front or what kind of initials you have in the back. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got it. Amen. This is about the believer. So all those that just lifted up your hands, raise your hands. Those of you that have some issues going on in your body, raise your hands. There's a lot of people in here. And so here's the deal. I mean, there's just too many people. I can't go one-on-one, but you know what? Everything that's flowing out of me is flowing out of you. And everything that's flowing out of me and that's flowing out of you is flowing in the person that's sitting next to you. So what I want you to do is, if you're sitting around somebody that has their hand raised, don't do it yet, but you're going to put your hands on them, on their hand or shoulder, whatever. Let's keep it modest. You're going to put your hand on it. But before you put your hand on them, I want you to do this. We're not going to put empty hands on people. And this is one of the issues that we have is we get very mechanical with things. It's very easy to do it. I mean, I've been there too. It's very easy to get mechanical. I'm just going to put my hand on somebody. No, 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 no. You need to know that before I put my hand on them, I'm going to put something into them. You need to know that what's on the inside of you is literally this great, awesome spiritual substance that's flowing on the inside, just churning on the inside of me, that I'm about to release it. I'm literally about to, I may not see it, I may not feel it, but I've got to know I'm about to get rid of something. I'm a possessor of this, not only for myself so I can walk in divine health, I'm also a releaser of this for my world. For my world. And so when you go put your hand on them, don't put empty hands, put full hands, and let loose of what's on the inside of you. And it doesn't take any of this stuff and all. I mean, things happen. Praise God, you know, this pink lady in the pink, I mean, she, you know, she got her dance on and stuff, and things happen. But you don't have to try to make something happen. It's not about you. God doesn't need all your natural additives to make the supernatural work. This is about just having faith and awareness of what you have on the inside of you, and you release it. You ready? So I want you, all those, raise your hand again, raise your hand. Those that are around, front, back, side to side, I want you to put your hands on them or touch their chair, whatever you feel comfortable in doing, whatever they feel comfortable doing. Get near them. And I want you right now, by faith, I just want you to say this. Father, I thank you for making me a possessor of this life. And by faith right now, I release what's on the inside of my spirit, inside their body. And I thank you right now for a miracle, a sign, a wonder, and a cure taking place in their body right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you had your hand raised, I want you to do something you could not do. If it's something on the outside, if it's something on the inside, I get it. We can't necessarily prove that. But if it's something on the outside, I want you to prove it and demonstrate it right now. Do something that you could not do. Do something that you could not do. Do something that you couldn't do. Do something you couldn't do. If it was hearing, check out that other ear. If it was your eyes, check out your eyes. If it was a joint, check out that joint. If it was your back, check out your back. Do some stuff that you couldn't do. Praise the Lord. This is not about you trying to make anything happen. This is just you responding to what's on the inside of you right now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.